victory, giving up 4 goals on 8 shots in under 12 minutes, of course with Alexander Georgiev in goal, in Buffalo to the Sabres, and trailing 4-0 before the first period was, you know, 3/4 of the way through, only to come back and score 5 times and win the game 5-4 in regulation, with Scott Wedgwood going a perfect 22 for 22 in 48 minutes and 11 seconds of play. I can end the podcast right there. That's the big recap from last night, Tuesday night's victory over the Buffalo Sabres. But I have some thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts. I have thoughts involving Georgiev. I have thoughts involving, of course, the other guy, Scott Wedgwood, who, if you guys saw the video on that the Avalanche posted when he got the big hat after the game, man, what a stand-up guy. I have thoughts on the leadership, the vibes in the room, what Wedgwood could bring to that. So let's start with Alexander Georgiev. Georgiev lets in 4 goals on 8 shots, like I said, in just under 12 minutes. 11 minutes and 49 seconds, I believe, was the total. And the Avalanche just looked like crap. They were getting beat. He was getting beat. The goals that he allowed were not great. There was at least 2 of them. The second one for sure to Tage Thompson. My goodness, that was a bad one. Then there was the broken play for J.J. Paterka shortly after. And then Beck Malenstein on an assist from Nicholas Aubé-Kubel, his first assist of the season, to make it 4-0. It was over. You know, I thought Jared Bednar might pull Georgiev after the Paterka goal, but I think he wanted to give him one more shot at redemption, one more opportunity to get back in it. And of course, you know, 5 minutes later, 4 minutes and 59 seconds later, the Malenstein goal makes it 4-0, and it was over for Georgiev at that point. The big issue that I'm having right now with Georgiev is the big issue that everybody's having with Georgiev. It's that after his first season with the Avalanche, we're in season 3 of this marriage now with the starting goalie. And you know, no matter how much people want to say he's not a starting goalie, he is the starting goalie on this team because he's playing 60-plus games per season. So whether we like it or not, he is the starter. That's obviously one of the problems here. But labeling him the starter is correct because that's what he's been for the Avs. The big problem is that after that first season and the loss to Seattle, you know, Georgiev did an admirable job. He was one of the best goalies in the regular season. Not only did he lead the league in wins, but he also had a pretty good save percentage. He was in 919, 40 wins, 16 losses, and 6 OTLs. He had 5 shutouts, which he's only had 2 since then, obviously both coming last year. He looked pretty decent. And despite that, we still had questions after the 23 season of if this guy can get it done. And since then, all he's done is fall even lower and then lower. He was an 897 last year, an 867, a freaking 857. Sorry, 67. In 16 starts this year, he's got 14 decisions. 2 of the decisions have been overturned after he's been pulled. He's been pulled 3 times. Against Vegas, against Columbus, the first 2 games of the season, and of course, here now against the Buffalo Sabres. Then there was also the game where he came in relief for Justus Annunen against the Tampa Bay Lightning. His save percentage has fallen. His confidence has fallen. And no matter how much it is speculation, because this is purely speculation, what I'm about to say, it really truly does feel like the vibes in the room are off in terms of the trust they have in this goalie when he's the guy in net. It really, truly does feel like when Georgiev is there, the team plays with a little bit of this clenched feeling like, oh boy, if we make a mistake, it's going to end up in the back of the goal. We saw it against the Sabres, the J.J. Paterka goal, broken play. 11 seconds after Tage Thompson made it 2-0. It was a broken play, and Georgiev couldn't bail his team out. In fact, he was nowhere to be found on that play. He was looking the other way. That's a problem. The issue that I have with Georgiev, he's 7-7 on the season. We all remember how the Avs started, but he's 7-7 now. He's won a lot of games. He had a stretch of, I think it was 7 games where he was a 924, I want to say it was, before this recent stretch of losses. He had won 6 consecutive starts and now he's lost against Dallas and Edmonton. No decision against Buffalo, but he's lucky Wedgwood came in and saved his bacon, not letting in a goal the rest of the way, because that gave the decision to Wedgwood. Obviously, the Avalanche scoring four goals made the decision Wedgwood's regardless, even in a losing situation. So the big problem that I have with Georgiev is it feels like, you know, let's go back to that, like I just mentioned, six consecutive wins in six consecutive starts. Sandwiched in the middle there was three goals on 17 shots against the Tampa Bay Lightning when he came in relief. But the issue that I have is every time he seems to take a couple step forward with his play, every time that he seems to dig himself out of a rut, this type of a game puts him back in. And he doesn't just take two steps back, he'll take three or four steps back. That's been the big issue that I've had with Georgiev the last couple seasons. It felt like in 2023 he was able to figure it out every single time. I remember early in the 2023 season, I used to have conversations with Peter Bond. We used to be like, is this guy a guy? Like, is he actually this freaking good? Because he was incredible to start the season. And now, obviously, we are where we are with him. So that's the big issue with Georgiev. I genuinely do feel like he's lost his team a little bit. And I can't confirm this. This is not me. I do want to be clear that I am spitballing and speculating here because I do have locker room access and we know this. I do speak to players and we know this. But I am not in there behind closed doors. I am not in there when the players are interacting with each other away from the camera, when they're, you know, responding to questions in a press conference or media scrum or one-on-one setting. So this is strictly speculation on my behalf, but it does make me wonder because Georgiev's a good dude. He's a very good guy. He's a stand-up guy. And I know nobody gives a shit about this part, but he genuinely is a very honest, truthful man. Like, he will tell you how he feels every single time. He's one of the only people that doesn't spitball out the generic hockey responses. He'll listen to your question, he'll listen intently, and he'll answer every little part of it. He won't just like let it slide with like, yeah, for sure. And like, if you ask him a question about like, is your confidence shaken, you know, he'll go out of his way, for example, to say, you know, I wouldn't say that, but I do feel like I'm struggling. Like, there are certain things he says where you can truly feel and tell that he's listening to every single word. But again, none of that stuff matters. I say that because I say that in the sense of like, he's a good guy. I want to see him succeed. I think he's got what it takes, but I truly do think, you know, we saw it in 2023. We saw it in 2023 in a team where, you know, this was the Avalanche year where it was like the Dryden Hunts and Anton Bleeds and freaking, what's the other guy's name? Lucas Sedlak, who was picked up off waivers. Just, you know, all the third and fourth liners that they had that were playing 2, 3, 4 minutes a game. Like, that season was an absolute mess to the point where JJ Jerez and I, at the time on this very podcast feed, when it was named something else, did an emergency podcast the night they acquired Matt Nieto. That's how bad it was. That's how much depth they needed. I went on record and I wrote articles that season talking about how the Avalanche need quantity over quality. They do not need quality players. They just need a quantity of NHL-capable guys. Then that summer, they fixed it. They went out and got quantity. They got Johansson. They got Drouin. They got Wood. They got Colton. They got Olofsson. And they got Tatar. Olofsson and Tatar. How many of those guys are still left? Well, 3 of 6. Miles Wood's out, Ross Colton's out, Jonathan Drouin's out, all three of them are injured, but they went out and got 6 new guys. They got quantity to see which ones are the quality, and the quality stuck out, and then the ones that were the quantity were replaced by other guys that they were trying to see if they were quality, and Duhaim and Trennan and Mittelstadt, to name a few. Obviously, 2 of those guys are now gone, walking as free agents. But that season, Georgiev looked like a guy that can be a Darcy Kemper, that can be an Aiden Hill, that can be a Jordan Binnington, where he's not the biggest, he's not the best, he's not going to win a Vezina trophy, he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame, but he can win you a Stanley Cup. So I think he's got the talent, but I genuinely do think that his inability to keep his cool, his inability to shake off a bad game, a bad shift, a bad goal is going to lead to his demise. And it probably already has. I truly think that mixing, it's kind of a little bit of a two-face, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but he's this really nice stand-up guy who's honest and truthful and very genuinely a good dude to talk to, mixed with temper tantrums, anger, slashing his defensemen, breaking sticks, throwing sticks against the glass, doing all these things, and then going out and not making saves, not backing it up. You know, people always talk about Patrick Waugh used to be such an angry dude, and then he would back it up with no more rats. I'm not letting in another goal the rest of the series. Georgiev's not doing that. His temper, his anger, his tantrums lead to poor play. And then it also leads to a poor attitude. It also leads to a poor reputation. It leads to the teammates looking at this guy like you're losing it and you're letting in goals. We can't have both those things. We don't want to deal with it. We've heard Bednar over the last couple seasons say over and over again he'd like to see his goalie keep us cool. That's the big issue I have with him. Now, going on to Scott Wedgwood, this is a fun one to talk about because this is a happy guy. I'm going to start with the vibes in the room. We all saw the video, like I said, when he got the big hat, the four lines, 6D, two 10Ds all year long. He started it off by saying something along the lines of, you know, I said it when I got here. This is a team that's never out of it. Like he fawns over the talent that the Avalanche had. He had a first glance view in the playoffs last year against the Dallas Stars in a series where the Avalanche didn't play all that great. He had the chance to sit on the bench behind Jake Oettinger as the backup goalie and watch them fly up and down the ice. He's played them in division battles. He trusts and knows that this team has it. All they need is stability and goal. You know, I wrote about this. I've been writing about this for the last 5 or 4 days, however long it's been since they got the guy, that they've settled and fixed the backup goalie issue. They're done with the stopgap situation. But now they got to get the other guy in here because now they saw how the team responded with Wedgwood. But they also know Wedgwood's talent is limited. He's a good backup goalie, and that's not a disrespect for me to say. The Avalanche don't have that. They haven't had that outside of Pavel Francouz the last 5 years. He's a good backup goalie, but he's never started in the playoffs, and he's 32 years old. You want to bring in a starter that you can trust, and if you can't trust Georgiev, or if you can trust Georgiev, if you have a safety blanket or someone behind him like a Francouz that can come in, then that's another story. But if your safety blanket to Georgiev is a guy that's never made a playoff start and is 32 years old, then I don't think you're going into the playoffs with Georgiev. That's been my feel all along. I always said, if the Avalanche traded for someone like Mackenzie Blackwood, a tandem goalie, then yeah, sure, they could trade Enunin for this guy, and he can be the tandem with Georgiev, where depending on, regardless of who starts, whether it was, for example, Blackwood or Georgiev, you have a backup option, a guy who's been a starter before that you can trust to make a play in the playoffs. Wedgwood's not that. If you need to go to him, you still will. Even if you traded Georgiev for friggin' Shesterkin, for all I care. If Shesterkin fumbles, you're still going to go to Wedgwood. If you need to pull the guy, you're going to put in Wedgwood. If you need to start Wedgwood, you'll start him. But it's more likely to happen with Georgiev, just based off of the patterns, based off of what we've seen this season, that he gets pulled. Or he gets benched. He gets sat. And then you're turning to Wedgwood, who's never made a playoff start. 32 years old. He's got the vibes in the room. You know, I truly do feel that losing guys like Eric Johnson, Andrew Cogliano, not having Gabe Landeskog, these things have hurt the Avalanche because their leadership, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Cale Makar, there's been a lot of negativity. They don't always seem as happy-go-lucky as they were the year they won the Cup or the years leading up to that year, or even in 2023. Bringing in a personality like Wedgwood to lighten the room and perform. He's not just a jokester in there who sucks. He's a jokester in there who proved he can perform and has a role on this team, and the role is a backup goalie that'll give you a good 20 starts a year, probably. In a full season, obviously. I don't think he's going to start 20 of the next, you know, 60 games or whatever's left. 55 games. But in general, He's a good goalie. He's got a good attitude. He's a locker room glue guy. He's got that personality, and I think that's going to be a big help. The other thing I like about Wedgewood, now we're going to go to his gameplay. I remember when Pavel Francouz's career, if anybody remembers, when he started in 2019, when Varley was injured, the Avalanche called him up to back up Philip Grubauer. There was a 10-day stretch in late December, early January, where Gruby was pulled twice for letting in four goals. Once was on 14 shots to the San Jose Sharks. Before that, it was on 16 shots to the Arizona Coyotes at the time. And both times he was pulled, Pavel Francouz came in relief. In his first career game, Frankie entered the game with the Avalanche down 4-1 at the midway point of the second period. Landeskog scored, Kerfoot scored, McKinnon scored, tied the game up with 9 minutes left, or 8 minutes left, only for Brad Richardson to score in the final 2 or 3 minutes and then add an empty netter to defeat the Avalanche 6-4. But Frankie came in. He played 29 minutes and 15 seconds. Obviously, the goalie was pulled at the end as well. He came in with 31 and a half minutes left. He came in with more than half a game left, just by a little bit, and didn't let in a goal until the final 3 minutes. But he sat there and played a perfect 25, 28, 29 minutes before it to allow the Avalanche to dig themselves out of that 4-1 hole. He obviously got the loss, the decision there, because of the fact that the Avalanche chatted up the game-winning goal was scored on him. 10 days later, the Avalanche go down again, 4-1. Lucas Radil scores on him. I think his first name is Lucas. Scores on him. And, now I got to look it up because I called him Lucas Radil, and I don't remember if that's actually his first name. He's the guy they used to play for the San Jose Sharks. Yeah, Lucas Radil, Czech hockey player. I just needed to double check that because I was a little iffy as soon as I said it. Lucas Radil made it 5-1 pretty early in when Frankie took over. I think it was 10 minutes after he was after Gruby was yanked and Frankie came in. He let in a goal to Radil, made it 5-1 San Jose. But then Tyson Joe scored, then Tyson Barrie scored, and then Tyson Joe scored again. The Avalanche made it 5-4 and lost. But the game-winning goal was scored on him, so he got the loss in the stat sheet. But again, he played 32 minutes. He came into the game with 34 minutes left and let in one goal. All in all, what I'm trying to say is Pavel Francouz started his NHL career with two games where he came in relief and gave his team an opportunity to win a damn game. And I'm not going to be short-sighted. Eustace Annunen did this last year. It was either the Penguins game or the Nashville Predators game. I forget. The Avalanche had a couple of those late comebacks late last season. And Annunen came in for one of them. I think it was Nashville. But at the same time, this season it wasn't happening. You know, I talked about it on the last podcast. He came in against the Vegas Golden Knights and couldn't stop a puck. He came in against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Before he faced a shot, the Avalanche tied it. 0-0 game now. It's 3-3. It's a tie game and you haven't faced a shot. Let in a goal on his first shot. Couldn't stop a puck. Avalanche lost. They let in 6 goals. Against the Tampa Bay Lightning, it was so bad that Annunen got pulled for Georgiev, only for Georgiev to get pulled back for Annunen. That was a mess. But then in the fourth game where they've had a goalie pulled in frickin' 26 games, that's not a lot of games to have four goalies get pulled. Georgiev gets pulled, Wedgewood comes in and goes perfect. I love seeing that. That's exactly what Frankie did to start his career. That's exactly the type of game Frankie provided the Avalanche. You know, in what other year can the Avalanche have their starting goalie take a stick to the eye and damn near go blind in one eye, not have the vision in one of his eyes? If that was this year, everybody's losing their mind. That year, I was like, okay, Frankie's going to come in and win a game. And he did, and he won 6 of them. They won the cup. That's the type of backup you need. That's what I think Scott Wedgewood can provide. And I'm not just saying this because he was 22 for 22. Wedgewood is not a goalie who's going to stop every single puck every single game. If he was, he'd be a future Hall of Famer and making a hell of a lot more than $1.5 million. But I said this before his relief appearance, he is a stable, capable backup goalie, and that's what the Avs need, but they also need a starter, and that's the next thing they got to address. I loved the fact that Wedgewood was able to come in and stop the puck. I loved that he was able to... The Avalanche let in 4 goals. And Wedgwood came in when they had already let in 4 goals. And he said, if my team's making a comeback, they need 5 goals to win the game. Not 6, not 7. They need 5. That's all they need, and that's all they got, and it all came in regulation, and that's all they needed. Why? Because Wedgwood, playing 48 minutes, shut things down and didn't let in a single goal. Couple of my thoughts from the game. Like I said, confidence in the goalie. The team having confidence in him and playing well because of it. I do want to shout out Calvin Dehaene. He had a hell of a game. 2 shots on goal that led directly to a rebound goal. 7 shots on goal was second only to Nathan MacKinnon. Casey Mittelstadt struggled in his Buffalo return. Only played 12 minutes, and that's an issue. He was a -2 and finished with 12 minutes and 0 seconds of ice time. It's an even bigger issue knowing that for 48 minutes, the Avalanche were playing catch-up hockey. Well, it's like 44 minutes because Lehkonen and MacKinnon scored pretty late. In the 40-plus minutes they were playing catch-up hockey, they needed offense, and Bednar wasn't going to Mittelstadt for that, and that's a problem. So let's hope he gets out of this rut. Nice to see Nathan MacKinnon break out of his little bit of a rut. Like I said, over the weekend, he's going to break out of it. He's going to break out of it soon. He broke out of it the very next game. That's the reigning Hart Trophy winner. 2 goals and an assist. 2 goals at 5-on-5. Hell of a game for Nathan MacKinnon. Nice to see O'Connor go out there and get some points. He's got 6 points on the season. 3 goals and 3 assists. And 1-1 came against the Buffalo Sabres. Poor guy had last year's dream season cut short because of an injury. He's finding his way back to form, and that was great to see. The Avalanche have let in 41 first-period goals, most in the NHL by a long shot. That's an issue. Second place, San Jose, is at 34, 7 goals behind, a third of the way through the season. That's bad. That's something that can be addressed with this goaltending issue. A lot of the reasons why the Avalanche are having bad starts, because they let in a bad goal and they lose trust in their goalie. They've got one guy they can trust. Can they get a second? Lastly, Buffalo's leader in ice time, the guy traded for Casey Mittelstadt, Bowen Byram, 26 minutes and 30 seconds. He had an assist. Nice to see him. Hope he's doing well in Buffalo. I wonder how long he stays there, though. He's a RFA at the end of this season, and Buffalo's got 2 defensemen locked up pretty long term and making a lot of money in Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power. So I'm really curious to see what they do there with Byram, if they decide to move him or keep him. I think he's a keeper, but you never know with Buffalo. Avalanche are in Carolina on Thursday. That's going to be a hell of a game. Excited to see what they do. If Wedgwood gets a start there, I'm really curious to see how it goes against the Carolina Hurricanes team that is also facing goaltending issues. Granted, it's because of injuries. So let's see what happens there. I believe the Carolina Hurricanes just signed Dustin Tokarski because they need goalie help. So it'll probably be Kochetkov and Tokarski against the Avalanche, who I would assume at this point are going to go with Scott Wedgwood, at least in that game, and we'll see from there. If I had to predict, I would say that Wedgwood gets 3 of the 4 starts for the remainder of this road trip. With that, I'm going to put an end to the show here. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave a comment. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star review on Spotify. On Apple Podcasts, if you do it, 5-star review. Leave a comment for why you love the show on Spotify. Just click the review. Click the 5 stars. Go to ColoradoHockeyNow.com. We're doing a massive 50% off discount right now. You get Colorado Hockey Now CHN Plus content, which is about 20 to 30% of the content that I provide, all for just $19.99 per year. 50% off the $40 usual price range. A hell of a lot better than paying $3.49 a month. $20 a year. A candy bar a month, as somebody said in my comment section. You get all the CHN Plus content. Got some fun stories on there and a lot more fun ones to come. Go to Colorado Hockey Now and sign up for that as soon as you can, because that deal will go away soon. It was our Black Friday, Cyber Monday deal, but it is still active as of right now, so I'm announcing it so you can get on it before it goes away. But with that, if you made it this far in the podcast, bless that pretty little heart of yours. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out ya.